Hey everybody, it's Joe Trippi, and wouldn't you know it, 10 minutes after we finished recording the episode you're about to hear, Alex and I heard the great news that broke that No Labels has abandoned its plan to mount a third-party ticket in 2024. You know, Alex and I, with a lot of your help, worked to make the case that No Labels would end up being just nothing but a spoiler for Trump, and we're glad that they made this announcement. More on this in another episode, and a lot more coming on RFK Jr., because that's the next fight. But for now, enjoy this episode as originally recorded prior to this breaking news, and thanks to you for helping make it happen.
Don't why David Axelrod and Joe Trippi are really good political analysts? Because they don't bullshit. Like, they come on the air and, like, I don't know, if you want to get smart about politics, go listen to Joe Trippi. Joe Trippi isn't selling you any lines about how great the Democrat is doing and blah, 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 you know. Like, Joe Trippi has the things that he wants in life, but Joe Trippi doesn't lie to people.
Hey, everybody, it's Joe Trippi, and welcome back to That Trippi Show. The clip you heard is from our friend Jonathan Last's podcast, The Dark Side, which I highly recommend, and it was very kind of him to say that. I started this podcast because it's been pretty clear the media keeps making the same mistakes. They keep chasing shiny objects. They can't quit Trump. The reality doesn't match up with that. So yes, I'm not BSing when I call out how much weaker Trump is than what is being reported and why there's so much room for optimism for Joe Biden, which we will get to later in today's show. Also this week, why would a second Trump term be so scary for our democracy? Our friend Tom Etzel has a must-read piece in the New York Times. And why do we talk about some polls but not others? Two really good questions from listeners this week. Alex, where do you want to get started, my friend?
Joe, let's start with the Etzel piece. And by the way, we will include a link to John Last's podcast in the show notes. I think it's been really good the last couple of weeks, not the least of which he shouted us out. But really important for shows like his, like ours, like our friends in the Lincoln Network, Resolute, to be really calling out just kind of the BS on a consistent basis, because it's pretty clear that there's still a slant, which we will get to. But all right, Tom Etzel, New York Times. Obviously, he's been on our show before. Whenever he has an essay drop, you just kind of know he's going to have the receipts, right? Yep. I mean, and this thing is long again. We'll include it. You called it the must read of the decade, which I don't think is an exaggeration. His piece is called Trump's Backers Are Determined Not to Blow It This Time Around.
Yep. That's a quote. Trump's backers are determined not to blow it this time around. Everybody needs to understand the conservative dark money machine behind Trump. And I think you go look at this piece, which we'll have in our show notes. But Etzel's conclusion, quote, this time the conservative movement plans to exercise maximum surveillance over an incoming Trump administration. In other words, there will be no kidding around.
Yeah, and that's a really important, that's the conclusion to his piece, but like that's really important, I think, for people to understand and why when you read this thing, I know your kind of eyebrows perked up too. And I was like, one of the things about the first Trump administration was that they were, I don't want to call it a saving grace, but it was kind of close to that. Like, they didn't really know how to get things done in a lot of ways. And they had, you know, we can talk about all the anonymous memos that were leaked and the guardrails. All of that is gone. And to his point, all the people that are spending all this money are spending the time to build a clear plan from day one about what they're going to do.
Yeah, no, and no, I didn't just raise my eyebrows. I mean, I know this stuff and I was stunned. I was literally, you know, taken aback at how the things that Etzel was able to piece together, the receipts he put out there, that the entire press corps is missing as they, you know, yap incessantly about Biden's age. So here's the reality. Leonard Leo, I mean, 100 different groups, $2 billion, and the train is coming down the tracks. And Edsel paints the picture that the rest of the press corps is just completely missing as they yap on about Biden's age or the latest polls that everybody knows don't matter this far out. And that's what was stunning to me, how obvious it was once Edsel lays it out, and you've got to read that piece. It really is, I think, the must read of the decade. And the most, I hope the press reads the damn thing and starts reporting it. You know, this isn't money. The $2 billion isn't political ads. It's almost all hidden, dark money, not easily trackable. You know, and they have a plan, Project 2025. It, you know, this thing is a roadmap for the people they put in the administration.
Joe, Theda Skocpol, who when she's usually pretty measured, right? when she comes, she says it's, quote, detailed plans to take full control of various federal departments and agencies from the very start and use every power available to implement radical ethno-nationalist regulations and action plans. Like, it is spelled out what they are going to do.
No, this is Project 2025. It's, you know, they have written this stuff out. They have real agendas for each department, and they'll have yes people, you know, and cult members in place to implement it. And I think she also called it the full prep for an authoritarian takeover, buttressed by the control Trump and Trumpists now have over the GOP and its apparatuses. I'm not sure, was that her or was that Edsel?
Yeah, you know, that was her again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he not only, you know, captures what the Leonard Leos of the world have said and done, how much money they've put into this, and the think tanks and what they're saying and what they put into Project 2025. But he also has people, other people who followed it, who understand what the implications are, who've been trying to sound the alarm, by the way. And I think it's never been sounded as loudly as this piece does by Tom Edsel. You know, the three key components to this, you know, you got all the Leonard Leo groups with, count it, folks, $1.6 billion in funding. Secondly, you have, you know, right-wing Hill-adjacent groups run by Mark Meadows, Stephen Miller, others.
I know, and the names are really good, too. It's It's from the innocuous, from like Center for Renewing America to like American Accountability Foundation, exposing the truth behind the policies of the Biden administration that threaten the American. I mean, it's like,
yeah, the Election Integrity Network, the Election Integrity Network, which is probably, you know, which is out there to steal the damn election. But they call themselves the Election Integrity
Network. And there are literally over 100 of these.
Yeah, the Compass Legal Group, American Accountability Foundation, America First Legal, Citizens for Renewing America. You pointed that one out. Citizens for Sanity. The crazy people calling themselves Citizens for Sanity. Anyway, and that one's to defeat the wokeism and anti-critical thinking ideologies that have permeated every sector of our country. Gosh, it sounds like even Trump wrote that or
I'm getting
said
like
it.
strong like 1935 Germany Austria vibes from a lot of their statements here.
And then you get the Heritage Foundation, number three. You know, they're leading Project 2025. This is a quote from them, quote, "It's not enough for conservatives to win elections. If we're going to rescue the country from the grip of the radical left, we need both a governing agenda and the right people in place ready to carry this agenda out on day one." Remember, Trump just wants to be a dictator on day one of the next conservative administration. So you've got those three forces all joined. And this doesn't include, you know, a whole bunch of other component parts, Christian nationalists, et cetera, but we'll get into that.
The thing that they acknowledge, and I think in Project 25, they say something along the lines of, we really saw success in the last year of the Trump administration, not the first three. And I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially they pointed out that it took them 3 years to root out everyone who said, maybe that's illegal or maybe that's not a great idea. You know, the people that the guardrails
stopped us from nuking Mexico or or injecting bleach into the population, oh, all that man. Stuff.
I forgot yeah, about the Mexico thing, right? Like that's how much has happened, right?
It is the saving grace of Trump's term was that there were some guardrails.
He was an idiot.
And it took a while for the purge to actually kick in. And by the end, there were enough remnants that hadn't been purged, literally, including, on January 6th, enough Republicans who hadn't been purged actually held the country together by, you know, holding strong and certifying the election and deny, you know, whether it was the Secretary of State in Georgia or Mike Pence not doing what Trump wanted him to do. That was it. It was just a handful that hadn't been purged. Well, this time, the VP, I the only question they're going to get asked in the vetting is, will you do exactly what Trump wants and certify whatever the hell he says? The same with any generals that he appoints to anything, the same with any judges, et cetera. And all the way
the interview question at the RNC, like we talked about last week, all of them are like this.
Yeah. And it's going to be, but what I'm saying is, and I think this is the point that Edsel and this piece makes, is it's all the way down to the lowest rungs in EPA and in the Veterans Administration you name it, on in terms of Department of Education, Transportation, all of them just completely they were out to destroy them. I mean, that's the other thing about this, is that in a lot of ways what Steve Bannon and his crew want is to burn down the entire government. And these guys are going to do it literally every single position and then seize it to move it in the direction they want. You know, unify Christian nationalists and more traditional heritage aligned budget hawks are going to have their say. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night, then drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Whether it's for vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions, there's so much going on this spring. Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to zbiotics.com/trippy to get 15% off your first order when you use Trippy at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/trippy and use the code TRIPPY at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Here's a good example. And I think to talk about every single person, and we are not exaggerating here, this thing from Project 2025, 53 pages on the Department of Health and Human Services, and this is what they want to do. Quote, protecting life, conscience, and bodily integrity. The secretary must ensure that all HHS programs and activities are rooted in a deep respect for innocent human life from day one until natural death. Abortion and euthanasia are not healthcare. Like, it's all out there. Like, we need to believe them when they're telling us this is what they're going to do.
It's what's happening with IVF. It's what's happening with 6-week bans, with national abortion bans. Of course, Trump, who's been out there bragging about he's the one that, who got Roe v. Wade
proud,
routed and out, is now, I guess it'll be interesting to see what his statement next week on abortion is, because
some drivel about leaving it up to the states.
It'll be leaving it up to the states, in which case, okay, IVF in Alabama or wherever, it still doesn't take care or explain the 53 pages, on how they're going to handle the Department of Health and Human Services from Project 2025's perspective, that, you know, quote, deeply respect innocent human life from day one until natural death.
Right.
You know, that's not going to be the return of Roe v. Wade, my friends. And, you know, if anybody was under that delusion in the first place.
The same people that are out there calling when the container ship hit the Key Bridge in Baltimore, calling the mayor of Baltimore the DEI mayor and blaming him for this stuff, those are the people both writing this and they're the people that are going to be in running these departments. Like, they are the same people. Like, this is not like, oh, the crazies over there. No, they're all the same people. And one more thing before we switch gears.
Yeah. They're the people who want mass deportation, detention centers for Latinos. They want to deport the Dreamers. I mean, there's no longer talk about, hey, what about a path to citizenship for the Dreamers, for children that were brought here when they're no fault of their own? No. They're gonna want to deport them. Not to mention the problem that's going to create with the economy. I mean, all this stuff is insanity. For, you know, literally a extremist vision of the future, you know, that's resentful against about the entire direction the country's taking, you know, in terms of people were embracing diversity, and that scared the living daylights out of these folks.
Right.
And so that's what 2025, it is about maintaining power to actually control the country. In their vision of all these things, which are totally go against where the country is, but because it's not being reported, because no one else is connecting the dots, the money, the think tanks, the people that Trump is putting into this campaign right now and who are being assembled to take over on day one, this is how democracy dies. Because, you know, it's one clear thing after you read this, it gets clear and clear. The press is never going to get this. They're never going to respond to it. They're kind of want the Trump-Biden fight. They kind of get giddy when there's bad poll numbers for Biden and don't seem to mention bad poll numbers for Trump. It's like the coverage of Wisconsin was pretty interesting. So Biden had, I guess, about 10% or somebody, you know, had voted, Democrats who had voted not, you know, basically, you know, in protest. And on the other side, Trump's got like twice that number voting for Nikki Haley, DeSantis, and also for uncommitted. But the reporting is all about Biden having a tough time in Wisconsin when twice the number on the Republican side voted for somebody in protest, somebody other than Trump. It's the bias in that direction is just amazing. But Edsel paints the picture.
Trump got fewer votes in Wisconsin in the primary than Biden did this week, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it was 511,000 for Biden, 476,000 for Trump. And yet, I saw nothing about that.
No, and nothing about more people voted against Trump than voted against Biden. It's all Biden's got problems. Anyway, so, you know, part of this is, I think, that they have so inundated, you know, and poisoned the water in terms of distracting the press, keeping them focused on the stupid shiny objects, that while they've assembled a plan, the people to implement it, the money to get it across the finish line, and no one has connected those dots more better than Tom Edsel has done in this piece. And that's why I did call it, you know, the must read of the decade. It will be in our show notes. I'm glad he did it now, because I mean, as much as when you read it, it may terrify you, and I'm going to warn you about that. The more it makes it clear that it'll take all of us to defeat this, and it's up to us. We have to keep up this fight. And the good news is that I think Joe Biden's right. There are a hell of a lot more of us who are defenders of democracy than these well-moneyed, but, you know, just crazed folks who want to end the Great American Experiment for the, so that they can force their way of life on the rest of us and take rights away and get their big tax breaks, by the way, which is why I'm sure there's billions flowing into this. But we will and can defeat it. It's just going to, this is a, you know, to wake enough people up, we've got plenty of time. You need to get out there, wake up your friends, get them to read this article, get them to read this piece, send it around to your friends in email. And, you know, from the bottom up, it's up to us. We will get this done. We will win. We will defeat these people.
All right, Joe, we promised a few listener questions this week, and these are, I think, Zach and Jess are two this week, and they're both kind of similar, but this is from Zach in Illinois. It feels like you're cherry-picking polls. You tell us about one poll, but not others. Why don't you mention the dozens of polls showing Trump ahead? They can't all be wrong, right?
Well, first of all, I almost always ignore the head-to-head. I don't care whose poll it is. I've always said that, particularly this early out, you know, that can change. You know, a head-to-head poll in October is much different than one in January or February or March. But we don't look at the head-to-head. We tend to look at the underlying numbers. And what I would say, I mean, where the head-to-head takes place is, you know, when you look at, you know, put it this way, why is it if Biden's approval is, is like at 36, but he's getting 43% of the vote in the head-to-head part. Why is it that if Trump's got, you know, better approval, slightly approval, let's say 40, but he's only getting, you know, he's getting 44. It's a dead heat. But when you look underneath, Biden it tends to get more votes than his approval rating. That's just one example. It's the same thing in 2022 when everybody was saying, look at his approval ratings on the economy. It's horrible. It's going to take the entire party down. But everybody ignored that the, you know, approval of MAGA, I mean, that wing of the party, the Republican Party, and the craziness of the candidates that they had put forward. When you looked at those head-to-heads in those local, you know, state and congressional races, it never added up. I mean, you should have seen, with Biden's approval on the economy being where it was, you should have seen these Republicans having massive leads, not close, and see a red wave developing. They kept saying the red wave was coming, but it never did. And so, look, you know, we don't cherry pick polls. I will say this: I'm not going to put polls that I know are being cooked or
and by
highly
cooked,
suspect that. Yeah, I mean,
elaborate there.
Yeah, with, you know, done by a Republican pollster, maybe even for a news outlet, but just happened to have their sample just tends to be got 6% too many Republicans in it, and shows Trump up by 5. Give me a break. I'm not going to get into that. We do talk about polls that we think are reputable, that have a good reputation for being relatively accurate, and we generally don't talk much about the head-to-head ever, whether it's a pro, you know, poll that has Trump up or Biden. Look, what the head-to-head tells you or should tell everybody is this is, by the way, you don't need a poll to tell you this. It's going to be a very close election. It was close in 2016. It was close in 2020. By the way, it wasn't close in the popular vote. Trump got creamed both times. Yeah. Hillary Clinton beat him by millions and millions of votes. Why is it close? Because in the 6 or 7 states that are battleground states, it's going to be extremely close. It'll be 14,000 votes in Georgia, maybe more, maybe less, 16,000 in Arizona, maybe more, maybe less. Pennsylvania, it was 44,000. It might be a little bit more, a little bit less this year. Same in Nevada. I think there's a couple of states like North Carolina that weren't in the mix. Biden lost them by 74,000 votes, lost North Carolina by 74,000 votes in 2020. I think that's going to be closer this time. Does it get into the mix of being one of these tight electoral college states? I think so. So, you know, in the end, all this talk about, oh, the average national poll. So you're telling me these idiots are reporting that they have seen 10 national polls, and then they average them, and then they get on here with this big screen and tell you who's moving up or down on the averages. Are you kidding me? No. Why would anybody look at that crap? By the way, the same would be true, by the way, of what they were doing was reporting the head-to-head in Pennsylvania every other day. What's really going on? So let's look at some numbers that matter. Right now, they tell you that Joe Biden, and I don't care which poll you look at, the ones with Trump ahead, Biden ahead, they say, look, he's in big trouble. He's only getting 68, 70% of the black vote. And in 2020, he got 95, 93. Oh, he's in trouble. Oh, look, he's in trouble. He's only getting in the 40s and with Latinos. And in 2020, he got in the 50s, low 60s. Oh, he's in trouble. Oh, look at the young people. He's actually, only up by 10, and he was up by 30 with them in 2020. Okay. Now I want to go look at the head-to-head for a second. Because remember, I just gave you all those down deep under the hood numbers. And then you go look at the head-to-head. And geez, in this poll that says all that, Biden's only 2 points down. Or in another poll that says very similar things about people of color and young people, he's up by two. In another one that says the same thing about blacks, Latinos, and young people, he's down by four. Okay, so here's how I look at those numbers. If we really are down 20 points with blacks, 20 points with Hispanics, Latinos, down 20 points from 2020 numbers with young people, and we're in a dead heat with the orange god, it would tell you something. That how could that be? Well, it's simple. It means Biden's doing better. And by the way, then you go over and you look at college-educated whites, et cetera, non-college-educated whites, and it turns out Biden's doing better there. So Trump is losing his numbers among whites. By the way, this is while he's being a white supremacist, racist jerk and scaring the hell out of them that they're coming to your suburbs to rape you. But he's losing those people, losing women. And at the same time, Brownstein said this about Nikki Haley. He said that, she had left a trail of breadcrumbs for Biden to follow to victory with the people who had voted for her. You go after them, you follow up with them, you appeal to them. Well, there's other breadcrumbs out there. All these people that have voted for Biden in the past, voted for Democrats in the past, yes, they're not with him right now, but they are not. In the end, when Trump, pounds the table even more on mass deportations, detention centers, his racist stuff, Dobbs, abortion bans, all that stuff, we don't have to gain back 20 points with blacks. We don't have to gain back 20 points with Latinos or with young people. If we're in a dead heat, when we've lost 20 points with all those folks across the board, you get 2 points, 3 points, 4 points of them back, and Trump is dead. That's what's going to happen, because we're going to do the damn work. We're going to knock on those doors. We're going to call people. Barack Obama will be out there, and so will Joe Biden, and then and a whole bunch of sane Democrats compared to the loony bin that these people are nominating again. They've done it again in North Carolina. Their gubernatorial candidate says he wants to go out loud, says he wants to go back to the time when women couldn't vote. Their superintendent of public instruction of schools, superintendent of the schools statewide in North Carolina, is calling for the execution of Barack Obama and Joe Biden out loud. Okay, that's why North Carolina's in play, because they're going to remind those people how crazy the Trump MAGA crowd is, and Joe Biden, who only lost it by 74,000 votes, it's going to be much closer. Can we win it? I think so. Again, we got to win back some of these votes that they're calling out, But the reason you want to look at that head-to-head is after you go down underneath the hood, the head-to-head is a good way to say, wait a minute, if we're in a dead heat, but we're, you know, look at who the undecideds are. That's important to understand. And it really doesn't matter where the poll comes from. But we go with reputable polls, and we tend to ignore the head-to-head, except to help instruct my thinking, Alex's thinking, anybody, you know, who doesn't get caught up in the head-to-head. There's not a lot to see there. It's going to be close. It's going to be close in 6 or 7 states.
I listen to you every week and read everything at Resolute. I'm also a fan of Simon Rosenberg. What you all lay out seems so clear. All the polling has fooled the media, I agree. My question is why? How? These are huge organizations with a ton of editorial and support staff.
Look, first of all, polling has changed a ton. And I still think a lot of pollsters haven't figured out how to poll. It was simple in the old days. You got a phone book, you called people, they had landlines, you randomly did it. It got perfected, obviously, but was pretty accurate. And then all of a sudden, no, people don't have landlines. They don't answer their phone. They, you know, if they don't know the number, they don't answer their cell phone. And a whole bunch of them, you need to poll online, an online survey. So there's a lot of reasons they keep missing it, and they missed it big time in 2022. But the other part of that is that some of them want to miss it. In other words, you've gotten to this, there's so many different pollsters out there, so many with so many different agendas that, they're oversampled. And some of them, it's not on purpose. Some of them, the sample, they're projecting what they think the turnout's going to be. So they create a model that has their own bias in it. They think the turnout's going to be more Republican or more this or more Democratic. So those are the reasons. But the reality is that so you get past the fact that they're not doing a great job. Then you get this weird coverage of covering the averages, which is basically all cable does. I mean, they do, here's 3 head-to-heads today in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia. Breathless coverage about the 3-point margin or the 6-point margin or the 2-point margin, like it's in cement and we're all dead. And then at the same time, let's look at the national averages that have nothing to do with what's going to happen in this race. So I just think, look, Simon has, pointed out, for instance, that Biden is leading in 14 polls taken since February, and that there's real movement towards him. And when you add things like that, like the economic data is increasingly getting better, and we talked about that weight coming off of, slowly lifting off of Biden, but there, you got to remember, there are dozens of Republican-commissioned, Republican-leaning polls in the national average that everyone keeps citing. So you get these 14 kind of polls that are either independent or very credible pollsters with real strong reputations for accuracy. Those show Biden leading, in 14 of them. At the same time, these Republican and Republican-leaning and Republican commission polls keep getting dropped and into the system. I mean, they can do 6 of them this week, and they all show, big Trump moves, and that all gets averaged in, and this drags things like the 538 composite down. It's like you have 7 horrible companies in stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial, Dow Jones, and 15 reputable companies, but the Dow's going down because all the crap that these guys are injecting into it, and the press doesn't grade them really and say, no, we're throwing out these bad, these polls that don't make any sense. And by the way, whoever our other question, I forgot the name, but yeah, we're not going to spend any time talking about clear on either side, clear polls that was commissioned by Democrats that's to somehow influence those numbers, the averages, nor the Republicans. The difference is the Democrats just don't do that much. I'm not saying it's never happened, but we don't. There's nobody out there trying to crank out six phony Democratic polls this week that show Biden in the lead. It doesn't happen. On the Republican side, sorry to say, folks, I know there's the big lies out there. I know there's a big liar out there, but they do have some pollsters who pump some garbage out. Just the facts.
Joe, I think that's a great place for us to end today.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to That Trippy Show. I do want to say again that as much as we report on the Tom Etzel piece and that you should read it, I think it's a big wake-up call at exactly the right time. We know what we're up against. We know where the breadcrumbs are, as Brownstein has said. We know that the groups in the party coalition, in the pro-democracy coalition, that we need to talk to and to pull back. And so does Joe Biden. He knows it too. And we're going to be able, we're going to have a really tremendous campaign the rest of the way. And from the ground up, it's up to all of us. We can do this. We are going to win. This podcast will always be free with support from our advertisers and as part of Resolute Square. Check out the latest at resolutesquare.com/trippy. Please subscribe to That Trippy Show and leave a review on Apple or wherever you listen. One more thanks to Jonathan Last for those nice comments. But if you feel the same way, it'd be great if you could spread the word about this podcast on social media. Maybe retweet him saying that. We'll put it on the we'll put it out there on Twitter or X, whatever. Well, I always call it Twitter. So if you have time, look for it. If you follow me on Twitter at Joe Trippy, you know, look for his comments in a tweet that I'll put out in the next day or so, and spread it around for us because we need more people to understand what we're up against, to be clued into things like this Tom Etzel piece, and to understand what the poll numbers really do mean and what they should pay attention to. So please subscribe to That Trippy Show and leave a review on Apple or wherever you listen. And if you're listening to this episode on YouTube, please like and subscribe to get alerts when we post the next episode. You can always send us a question to thattrippyshow@gmail.com or leave us a question in a review on iTunes. We'll see you next week. Keep up the work. Thanks, everybody, for everything you're doing out there.